Hey listeners, welcome to our podcast, where we drink really tasty coffee and we bring you the stories of people whose lives have been changed by God. We believe there is wisdom and learning from each person's story. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, relax and enjoy the conversation. This is Brewing Near. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Brewing Narrative. It's been a little bit, but we are here. My name is Landon. I am joined by Matt.
What's up?
James.
I'm back.
Today. And our lovely guest, Joy Little. What's up?
Hi.
Hold on.
Thank you for being here and sacrificing your Thursday night for us.
Yeah, no problem. I'm excited.
Where's Ryan?
Yeah, we have forgotten.
Oh, yeah,
Ryan.
Sorry. I'm worried, Ryan. See, I'm not used to this. So Ryan's doing sound today, getting these guys on a rotation so James can provide his amazing input. And Ryan does a great job with sound, too. So that is that's who we got. How are you doing, Ryan?
Good.
He says good. But, yeah, it's been a little bit. So, I mean, what's everyone been up to?
Well, today's been eventful alone. So I actually, about an hour before I headed over here, I was at the ER. Mm. That's why I got these pepper stickers on me. I forgot to take them off.
I've like been seeing them, but I like haven't registered them.
Yeah, so.
But now it makes a lot of sense.
So my daughter decided to, whether this is true or not, decided to tell me that she swallowed some coins. So, so we called the doctor and she said, you know, if it's anything, if it's like a quarter, you know, it's pretty dangerous, so you should probably get it x-rayed. Oh. So we went to Children's Hospital here in St. Louis, got an x-ray, and they found absolutely nothing in it.
Well, that's good.
So, you know, we did get a popsicle out of the visit, so that's one pretty expensive popsicle.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's been pretty eventful. You know, things are opening up again here in St. Louis slowly and safely.
Yeah.
And we're getting out a little bit more as a family. And just trying to enjoy the whatever's left of summer.
Yeah. Sounds good. James, what about you?
It's been good. Work at home today. Manage my online shop. That was fun. That was pretty much what I do all day. And took a bit of a nap. That was good. what was it when you take coffee and then you take a nap?
Like you drink coffee.
Nappuccino.
Nappuccino?
You know what that is?
I've never heard of that.
Really? It's a good concept.
I'm stealing that one from you.
So, yeah, basically you drink a cup of coffee, and usually caffeine taking in, you know, like 15 minutes. And then between 15 minutes, you just take a nap. And then once you get, like, wake up from a nap, you get extra boosts from caffeine.
Hmm.
So
I think that's what my mom used to do. My mom's a retired school teacher, and she would come in from work and drink like half a cup of coffee and then take a power nap. And she would wake up ready to cook us dinner because that's what she did every night. Joy, what have you been up to?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. Work. Lots of work. I work in insurance. So I just got promoted to a different position with my friend, which it was funny because it was, it was one position, but our boss made it two so that we both could do it. So that was cool. So working, and then me and some of my friends went to the Missouri Bottom conservation area to see the sunflowers and take our little pictures for Instagram. And
cool.
Definitely an Instagram-worthy
location. Oh, yeah. But there was, like, mud on the way on the trail.
Oh, yeah.
So we had to, like, take our shoes off. And
I've been seeing a lot of pictures there lately, so I need to check that out.
Yeah, it's super pretty.
It's also like a gold mine for photographers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A lot of professional photographers will book like mini sessions there and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody loves it because it looks good on Instagram.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I'll have to check that out.
Sure. Joy, didn't you have an article written about you not too long ago?
Oh.
Did I? Yeah, I did.
What was that about?
The article... Did I have an article written about me?
About your job before all the Corona stuff happened.
Oh, I think
the employees. I guess as a company, you guys did something.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh. I should know that. I don't know where it went in my mind. Yeah, our the company like paid for Troy, their electricity bills or the electricity bill of Troy or something like that. Because they were gonna, I guess, shut people off, like due to them not being able to pay, due to Corona and everything. So they just gave the money to cover that month.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah, they're really cool. They're really awesome.
So yeah. you're pretty legit. One of our more legit speakers.
I would say so. Well, let's talk about the legitness of this coffee. Sorry, yes. I'm trying. So, Matt, what are we drinking?
Yeah, so today, I picked it up at Road Crew over in Tower Grove, over here in St. Louis, Missouri. But what they tend to do is they tend to sell coffee from other coffee shops, and they had a variety of choices. And as biased as I am, I had to go to Sump again. Mm-hmm. I think it's like the fourth time we've had them on the show.
They're not a three-peat, they're a four-peat.
So if you ask me to pick the coffee, even if I close my eyes, somehow I'll accidentally pick up Sump. Because I just love...
But we're not mad.
Yeah, I love everything about it. And it's actually, I'm kind of glad because this is something that I haven't had. Lena was joking with me earlier about how I just naturally get Ethiopia stuff. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten a lot of different Ethiopias, and this is one that I haven't had, actually. Mm-hmm. It's called the Ethiopia Nano Challa.
Yeah.
I like the name.
Nano Challa.
Yeah. Like Black Panther.
Challa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was actually roasted on the 21st, today's the 23rd, so 2 days ago. So it's freshly roasted. It's also from the Ethiopia Land Races, which is, the new terminology that they're trying to use. But basically what land races means is that it's just naturally grown in the wild. So it's still maintenance and mm-hmm. well taken care of, but it's not like a farm. It's like grown with like other trees and like, it's kind of like how you like have free range chicken.
Yeah.
You
just have free range. Like ethically sourced.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like free range mm-hmm. coffee.
And really, I mean, coffee from, I mean, it's widely believed that, you know, Ethiopia is the birthplace of coffee. And mm-hmm. so it grows wildly over there. So, you know, I think that kind of makes sense because, I mean, it's almost like they don't even have to put the effort. It's almost like if you're thinking about a farm, it's almost like you have, let's just say you have an elk farm. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's an elk farm anywhere. But there's like
a park.
Okay, let's think about a farm. let's say chickens. Okay, it's almost like you have all these chickens and they're really great, and all you have to do is put a fence around them.
Yeah,
it's like they're just there. I mean, I'm not saying that about this coffee, but in a way, to give our viewers kind of an idea of what it's like over there, it's very popular.
And also, one of the things that I had read about land races is that if you think about like the cross pollination. Mm-hmm. Did I say that? Is that a real word? If it is a real word. But basically, it's so the coffee tends to have about 10,000 different varieties because it'll pick up the seeds and the soils from other trees. Mm-hmm. And then wherever it lands, if it lands on top of each other, it'll just create this like hybrid coffee. So that's why they have to specify what kind of Ethiopia it is because it can tend to just be a combination of things. Mm-hmm. I mean, 10,000 might be a lot. But, like, I guess if you think about, like, just the generations of coffee, like, if, you know, if one cross-pollinates here and then it grows to, it blooms and grows big and then it drops off another one to another one and then you think, then there's four and then there's, you know, power of exponents.
Yeah.
So, exponential growth.
Well, you know, funny thing about this coffee, and then we'll see what everyone thinks. I've heard of Nano Challa. I've not only seen it at some other shops, but I remember last year Sump had this coffee. So it was not too long. It must have been – so I started working at Upshot in early June, and I remember this coffee because back then we were a multi-roaster. We weren't roasting our own. Mm-hmm. And we had this Nano Challa from Sump. So that tells me that maybe Scott, the roaster, chooses this coffee – maybe around this time of year, because I know that Ethiopias are, you know, the in season is kind of late summer.
Yeah. Well, have you ever been a part of like the buying for Upshot as far as coffee goes? Mm-hmm. It comes in seasons. Like if you go to your supplier, in a sense, they'll give you like a sheet saying, all right, this is what's available in March, April, May, June. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is probably one of the ones that
for
comes
sure
in this rotation, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. So Joy, I'm curious as to what you think.
Okay, so I'm not a coffee drinker at all.
Totally okay.
Like, at all.
Actually, you know, not to interrupt you, but I think we've had more non-coffee drinkers.
I think we have.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah. It's,
we're not biased.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably good I tasted it black.
Yeah.
And with nothing in it. It's definitely, like, really earthy.
Okay.
Like, super, like, earthy, like, and super strong, but not like overwhelmingly strong. I feel like I've tasted coffee that's been like knocking me out of my chair,
mm-hmm.
but this just feels like strong and like a
maybe it might be stronger because you know, you might be. Do you normally like add
to
creamer
my
or sugar?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, to my
to your coffee.
Well, I don't drink coffee at all.
Oh,
but,
okay, yeah,
but to my teas, I do enhance it with like sugar and stuff.
Okay,
so and I think. When we're talking about like strong coffee, I think that's like a lot of people look at different things in terms of strength.
Yeah.
Like some people look at maybe the extraction, which is basically you're extracting more soluble content from the coffee. Mm-hmm. And so it has more mouthfeel. It's a little bit more intense. Other people look at strength in terms of the roast. So it might be really, if you were just, I know you're not a coffee drinker, but I mean, I think maybe you've had a coffee that's like so dark and it's like burnt and it's just bitter.
Yeah.
And people are like, kind of like a French or an Italian roast. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, and it's just like, this is like motor oil. I can't do this. So strength is kind of a, it's kind of like a tough term.
Yeah.
You know, it's defined in a lot of different ways. But so you said earthy. Ethiopian coffees are kind of known for being very light.
Yeah. It's very
kind of
like,
tea-like almost.
Yeah. It's really, it's weird to describe. It's like light, but very like strong.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think of like a mom that's like disciplining you, but she's not yelling.
Okay.
And then that's the tea.
That's
the coffee.
First.
You're such a mom.
I love that.
That was a very mom thing to say.
Yeah. Never have another.
But then, like, you're still affected by the discipline.
Yeah.
But it just, I don't know.
I
that's
like that.
Why
that's
I'm,
interesting.
Yeah.
That's how you should. That's how you should explain to non-coffee drinker Landon.
Yeah. Right. I know. Yeah.
Talking
about
when a customer comes at a shop, you just say. You know, it's like a woman, like a mom disciplining their child.
Right. Yeah.
But she doesn't yell.
But she
doesn't
yell.
But it's
this
effective.
Coffee over here, if you do something wrong, they just don't even care. They just don't even care.
But then this coffee.
Yeah. This is, we call this one our helicopter mom, our helicopter dad version.
Yes.
So what do you guys think, James and Matt?
Well, definitely tea-like.
Sorry, I'm getting more. I always
It's out. Remind me of black tea. It gives you some aftertaste of tea, right? Mm-hmm. It's stuck around the side of your tongue. I like it. I like anything you made for me, Landon.
Mm.
Anything. I drink anything. Well,
anything.
Thanks,
I like
man.
It.
I appreciate that.
Anything.
That really means a lot.
Even water.
Right. Even water.
Yeah.
So the taste notes from the roaster are juniper, toffee, and Midori. And actually, as I was drinking this earlier, I was like, man, it just kind of tastes like tea a little bit, like kind of what everybody else is saying. And Mike, our audience today, said their website actually says it their taste notes are tea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was it black tea?
Yeah.
All right, okay. So yeah, black tea.
Mm.
So you guys are pretty spot on.
Yeah.
As far as your palates go, I like it. It's definitely not the Ethiopia that I'm used to, but it's still pretty good. A lot of the Ethiopias, like I've said before, tend to give me like a berry taste, like blueberries.
Yeah, this is definitely not very fruity at
like
all.
Like very fruity, bright.
Yeah. I want to try that.
This like one, this one's like kind of like something that I would drink probably like right before bed.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was a decaf, it would probably be better, but. Like it's not like it doesn't linger as much as I thought it was, and it's it sits in your mouth to where it's like not distracting. But like you know, there's some coffees that just wake me up and yeah. like just kept me, like let me go, and just I feel like motivated.
Yeah.
This one kind of was like I'm ready to wind down. And settle down.
It's like it's the end of the day.
I would call this one an easy drinker.
Easy drinker.
So
my coffee nightcap.
Yeah, I feel like like this one is not gonna like blow you out of your chair,
mm-hmm.
but it definitely. Out. Yeah, I feel like with Ethiopia's, yeah, like you said, Matt, like you can go two ways. You can get something that's really berry like, maybe heavy on blueberry, or you could get something that's more herbal tea. And this is definitely in like the herbal. And it's funny because I just had some hot tea today, just a new one that we got in, and it's. Just the comparisons are so crazy. And sometimes even after having had coffee kind of seriously as long as I have, I'm still sometimes like, I can't even believe this is coffee, you know, because it's just so different.
Right. Yeah. And every once in a while, you'll also get like kind of like an in-between of like, you know, you just can't really tell if it's like really earthy or just really fruity. And this one's like, it really balances or really tips the scale towards the earthy side. But like I said, I love Sump, and I don't know if I'm just being biased, but still pretty good. This is what we'll be drinking for the next week.
Mm-hmm.
So we're good.
Mm-hmm. I actually bit my lip today. So the way that I like move coffee around in my mouth, it kind of like it's messing with me a little bit.
Uh-oh.
What does our audience think? What do you guys think? Ryan? No?
Yeah, just because you don't have the mic doesn't mean we don't get your reaction.
That's true.
I'm back. Well, I pretty much just agree with you guys. I think it's smooth. It's tea-like.
Yeah.
It lingers.
All right. Yeah. Michael, what about you?
Yeah, I definitely get more of the, I think one of the notes is toffee. I get that a lot more. It does sit on me.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
She lingers. So,
you feel it?
Yeah.
We should have the cranberries linger. Yeah. We should have that song as an outro.
There you go.
And then just put "We don't own the rights" that song. All right. Well, yeah, this is some good stuff. I managed to just always be out within the first couple minutes, but that's my fault. So yeah, hopefully moving forward, this will maybe change your view.
Yeah. I'm definitely open to it. Yeah.
Maybe, you and Nico can go on a little date. Sump's a nice little coffee shop.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And when things do open back up, I mean, you know, most places are doing curbside. I know we at Upshot, we just went back to dining in.
Oh, cool.
Where we're still doing paper products and all that good stuff. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, Sump is a great experience. Road Crew's awesome. Comet Coffee.
Yeah.
So, and I'll give a little shameless plug to our listeners, but Upshot's getting ready to open a second location right down the street from Lindenwood.
Yes.
In St. Charles.
Upshot Break Shop. Yeah. Upshot Break Shop in St. Charles.
Okay.
So come by and say hi. But anyway, so yeah, Joy, thanks for being here. I guess just to start off, who are you? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So I'm Joy. Do you know my last name?
I don't know.
I'm Joy Little. It's weird to say that. I just got married.
I did almost say Massey earlier.
Did you?
But I did, yeah.
Yeah, I just got married last November. Still kind
of
settling into that.
With a former roommate of mine.
Yes. Yeah. That guy.
Nico. That's kind of our reaction to Nico. It's like, what a guy.
I can't bash him. He's my Call of Duty partner.
Yeah. So, yeah, Nico is a close. fierce gamer.
I met him
very much so.
The first week of my college year.
Yeah. Oh, how was that? Because I know you guys are
I got scared. Because, so, Nico... You know, he looked a bit scary, right? I mean,
it's the eyebrows. It's the eyebrows.
Yeah, and the tattoos.
Yeah.
He got a bunch of tattoos.
Yeah.
Man. But after you know him.
He is literally like, he's a teddy bear. Like, he is so gentle.
Just
like,
give him a little tickle.
Like Nico. And Nico would literally do anything for anyone.
Yeah. Anything.
But I will say, and then I'm going to let you get back.
Okay.
I'm going to roast Nico
a
little bit
It's
right
my
now.
Favorite hobby.
You got the mic.
So right now, me and my wife, for probably the 10th time, are watching The Office.
Uh-huh.
And it's really, really hard for me to, like, sit down and just follow a show because I more so, when I get home, I'm just, like, moving. I'm, like, cleaning. I'm organizing. I'm, like, doing something.
Mm-hmm.
So The Office has been more so something for background, but I'm still paying attention.
Yeah.
So, you know, Nico and I, we had bunk beds in college. And I go to bed relatively early. Mm-hmm. Nico did not. Mm-hmm. But he would be on that top bunk, and I mean just gut-busting laughing at, like, midnight. And he had his headphones in.
Yeah.
And I mean, and I'm just like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, oh, he's like, sorry, man, I'm watching The Office. But I will say, now when I watch it and I'm just dying laughing, I'm like, man, I truly think back to Nico. I'm like, I understand why Nico was laughing. So,
oh, yeah.
Anyway.
It makes sense.
Love you, Nico. Continue.
That guy. For reference, I don't know if any of you guys watched, like, The Proud Family on Disney Channel.
Yeah.
His laugh, I told him it sounds like the grandpa that lives across the street.
I can't recall it, but I'll... Matt's probably surrounded by Disney, so.
And, okay, so Nico's Hispanic, and the grandpa's also Hispanic. It's just like.
Matt's dying over here.
I wish I could imitate it. It's like, woo-ha-ha-ha! It's super loud.
It's Matt, but yeah, it makes me happy. Like, every time I hear him.
Very memorable laugh, for sure. For
yeah.
Man,
but,
you really got Matt.
I know, I'm sorry.
Let it out, Matt.
I'll put a clip after this is done.
Now all Matt's going to be able to do is think about that laugh the whole episode.
It's so loud. Like, oh my gosh.
All right, well, while Matt's recovering over here.
Okay. You good? Okay.
Get this guy some tissue.
So, yes, just got married. That's probably a story for a little bit later.
We might get there. Yeah, we might get there.
Interesting. I'm 24. I work in insurance. Yeah, I never thought I'd go into that field at all. But I'm a trainer. I train some sales agents. I've got one daughter, Savannah. She is six. Yeah. I cry every day. Almost.
I know we will talk about her quite a bit.
I know.
She's worth talking about. Yeah.
My baby. She's my girl. I had her when I was 18. What else about me? I'm 24. Did I say that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where are you from? Did you mention that?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. No, I didn't. I'm from Florissant, Missouri.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. North County, St. Louis.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Since you brought up Savannah, and there's a lot to your story just personally, and you might even get to some of that when talking about her, but you know, tell us a little bit about Savannah, because she's touched all of us, and just in our lives, so, and that's not an understatement, so.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about her.
She's a powerful girl. So she's six. I had her when I was 18. There were some complications with her birth, and she ended up being diagnosed with cerebral palsy and epilepsy when she was about one, I'd say. It took a little bit to get her diagnosed. And it was, I can't talk about it a whole lot just because of there's like legal stuff going on, but it was a very unfortunate birth. It was very, very scary, and, you know, I didn't really know what the outcome of that was going to be, you know, if she would live, if I would live, you know, past a certain point. But, oh my gosh, she's been through a lot. And I mean, she's never, like, not made anyone smile. You know, like, I've met, like, a bunch of different kinds of people just through, like, life and anything. And it's, like, she just does it. Like, she's nonverbal. And so, like, I just think it's super funny how, like, anyone, like, she can make anyone smile and laugh, and just, like, anyone will talk to her, and, like, you know, she's the cutest, and she's so funny. Like, oh, my gosh, the story. 100%. She's so funny. She thinks she's funny, too. Like, knows. No. She knows. Oh, yeah. Like,
she does
have
a little bit of, like, a mischievous, like,
yes,
laugh.
Like, she is just, so she's in a wheelchair, and she can't walk. She's had, like, hip surgery, and she's having another hip surgery event, like, next month. And but she's so mobile mm-hmm. and like will dance. She'll like hit stuff out of your arm. Like I'll hold my phone and I'll hold her and she's like, yeah. She'll like swing her arm in the air and like just like no. And like the other night, I brought her into my room. I was like, hey, we're gonna hang out and like fold laundry. And she was like, ah. And I'm like, okay, you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
She wanted to watch TV, and I'm like, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's yeah. funny.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, so like, and I don't know how much you can necessarily talk about. It's mm-hmm. something that I don't really know really anything about. I've not really heard this part of your story, but like,
yeah.
what was it like kind of leading up to giving birth? I mean, and did you mm-hmm. know anything before?
No. She was born, or? A lot of cases, a lot of times with CP, what it really is, it's just like, it's a traumatic brain injury, but during the birthing process. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't anything abnormal with like her birthing scans or, you know, anything necessarily weird with my pregnancy,
mm-hmm.
you know, not that I knew of, not that I know of. I mean, I was at the time I got pregnant at 17. Yeah. So I obviously don't know anything.
Yeah. I was going to say like, coming in, even just the age that you had her,
yeah.
like, let alone parenting, but then, like something like this happens, like mm-hmm. where do you even like start to think yeah, about that yeah. kind of stuff?
Gosh, mm-hmm. yeah, like it threw me for sure because I really didn't have. I mean, I knew what I wanted to do in high school,
mm-hmm.
pre-pregnancy, you know, pre yeah. like getting pregnant. But then after, I'm like, I don't know, like you know, but yeah. So she because of different stuff that happened in the birthing process, she lost oxygen
mm-hmm.
during the birthing process, and her brain swelled, and then after the swelling went down, it left her brain with a lot of scar tissue
mm.
and it affected a bunch of different areas in her brain, the frontal, the like the back, I don't know the different areas of the brain off the top of my head, but it affected basically most of her brain. Mm-hmm. I mean, her doctor, whenever she diagnosed her, was like emotional, was really? Very yeah, was very mm-hmm. emotional, like we're gonna get you, you know, what you need, like here's the diagnosis.
Was that a doctor that you had had a lot of like contact with, or was it?
No, it was, so whenever she was one when she got diagnosed, so mm-hmm. it took a while for her to get diagnosed officially, mainly I think because there's kind of a stigma with CP,
mm-hmm.
like there's kind of like a, okay, well, what went wrong during the birthing process? And it's not always like someone's fault, you yeah. know, it could be like mom was in an accident or, yeah. and it just affected the baby's brain or like, you know, maybe a stroke or something. It just, mm-hmm. it just kind of depends on the situation. But,
yeah.
One of her babysitters that I had, was just like, you know, you should really get her like checked out for CP or something mm. like that, or like, you know, and her therapist at the time, which she had, they knew that she had something,
right.
but they weren't really being definitive of what it was.
Yeah.
And no one was really wanting to test. So I really didn't have answers for anybody. But it was very noticeable that she wasn't hitting certain milestones, and, you know, she was on seizure medications basically from birth. But yeah, her babysitter suggested it. I was like, all right, I don't know what that is. And her therapists were like, well, they don't really diagnose that anymore. But I just went in. I was like, hey, can we do an MRI with her neurologist? And yeah, she was just like, yeah, she definitely has this. Like, this is the steps you guys can take. Like, here's how you guys kind of get services started, because this is going to affect the rest of her life in a bunch of different ways.
Mm, man. So, you know, so you got pregnant at 17.
Mm-hmm.
What were like, I mean, that's obviously a very formative,
yeah.
those are formative years, but
mm-hmm.
I guess like a little bit of your upbringing, but like what were those kind of those years like leading up to that?
Mm-hmm.
What were things? Because I think I met you.
Probably when I was pregnant.
Yeah, I think I did. Yeah.
Probably.
But like, what was it like before then? Because I didn't really get to know you until a little bit later on. But.
Yeah. Before then, so I'm the oldest of four. And we were living with my mom. My dad kind of exited the picture around the time I was 12-ish. And so, and that was just, I mean, we found out he had a criminal past that, like, none of us knew about, you know, not even my mom. And so, you know, he wasn't in the picture after that. And so I kind of took the role of, like, the second parent type, like, kid. And took a, I had two sisters and a brother, and I took care of them, made sure they ate dinner, because mom worked a lot, you know. She was very, like, she went from being, like, a stay-at-home mom to being, like, I have to, my family has to survive. Like, what do I do that? And so she had to get a job, you know. She went from staying at home to doing, she did hospice care and home health care. And I don't know, I was super angry during those years. Like, I was just kind of, like, just mad at anything. I really wasn't nice to my siblings. Like, I would take care of them, but I wasn't a role model or kind to them. I didn't talk to them a lot. You know, we would hang out from time to time, but not anything that was, like, meaningful, I don't think. At least in my eyes, looking back, like, I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I'm a crappy sister. But, yeah, I was just really sad and looking for attention wherever I could get it, anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, doing good at school, guys, friendships, like, just, I was just angry and mean. I was really mean.
At what age would you say that you kind of, like, were self-aware of that, that anger, in a sense? Because I would imagine that, you know, your earlier years, you're just kind of natural instinct maybe, or, you know, maybe just kind of living life, but then at some point, there's a tipping scale.
Yeah.
You know? And then, so, like, what, like, at what point did you realize that?
I'm thinking, I'm, like, trying to, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it would have been whenever, so one of my friends actually introduced me to church when I was pregnant. And me and her had had a super long history of, like, just bad friendship, toxic friendships and everything like that. And there was a point wherever she had told me, like, how much I had hurt her in our friendship. And it just kind of made me, like, sit there and look at, like, man, if this person who I call, like, my best friend is, like, you're, like, you know, you're a really mean person and, like, you are hurtful. Like, these things that you do, it's not just, like, oh, whatever, like, they'll love me anyway. It's, like, they hurt people. And then I kind of looked around and I'm like, man, I wonder who else feels this way, you know? And, you know, when I think about it, like, my anger towards my, like, my sisters and my brother, it wasn't, it, I don't know, it began not to be, like, tunnel vision. It wasn't just, like, this is Joy's life and these are the co-stars. Like, it was like, oh my gosh, like, these are people that have to deal with, like, the trauma of what I've brought in the, into their lives, basically.
Yeah.
And so I probably, when I was pregnant, I think being pregnant made me super vulnerable emotionally, naturally, hormones and stuff. But just being in it alone, like, the my daughter's dad wasn't in the picture. And so I was super angry at that, too, and just everywhere, all over the place.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm asking, I ask, and because, like, you know, I teach an anger management class, so, like, it kind of is right up my alley. But, like, you know, you think about just kind of the reactions, or, like, just kind of, like, the behavior in a sense of your actions, and you sometimes you go through your whole childhood and majority into your young adult life not even realizing that you were actually angry, and you're doing these things, and you're like, you're you don't realize the people that you're affecting because of this anger until like much later, and in some cases after relationships are ruined.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like, this is something that I had to deal with, is, you know, there was a lot of actions that I didn't necessarily tie to anger, but they were actually anger. And as a result of that, like, I lost a lot of relationships that I wish I can have back, or I lost a lot of good quality relationships that I wish I can have back. But unfortunately, like, it didn't, like, I didn't realize it until, like, I was maybe 20, 21. You know, and I wish I can get those years back.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, you know, when I consult other people, I always say, like, you know, if you can find it at an earlier age, you know, it gives you back a lot of potential lost time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like to identify at what point that happens.
And I think it's so crucial too, you know, like, you know, you said you had a friend to tell you, you know, how you really were.
Yeah.
And I just, that's why I think friendship is, and good friendship is so important.
Yeah.
You know, honest friendship, you know, people that are willing to speak the truth in love, I think, because sometimes we just don't realize our faults and how we are until someone just tells us. And sometimes, I would say probably every time. I mean, obviously, you can't be hateful about it, but it needs to just be blunt.
Yeah.
It doesn't always need to be sugarcoated, you know? And I can't think of the verse, but I know there's a verse in Proverbs where it just talks about, you know, how our friends are kind of like a mirror. And we need them to be able to look at us and to kind of point these things out, because I'm so nearsighted. Like, I just can't see what's going on. So, you know, as you're, so I think we met at Cross Chat, and so, and Cross Chat's something that we've talked a lot about on this episode, or on this podcast, but you know, it's just a, you know, a place where college students come together and, not church kids typically, which is really cool. But you know, we hang out, we have fun, and we learn about God, and about, you know, just applying the Bible to our life.
Yeah.
You know, what were, so like, what were some of your initial thoughts as you started to kind of be around, you know, people that did go to church and the Bible? Like, what, I mean, like, what was going through your head? Because I think about what it was like for me.
Yeah.
And those are like memories and thoughts that I like hang on to, because if I could like look back, for me, it's like, man, just, you don't even know like what was in store for you. So like, what was that like for you?
It was, gosh, I naturally am super anxious and like very like, I'm not like, let's go meet a whole bunch of people, like naturally. So the idea of Cross Chat was just like, but why? Like, why am I, you know, going to go eat food with strangers and talk about God? Like, for what? You know? But I don't know, just seeing how everybody was so excited to see everybody. It was really cool. And actually, the first time I went to CrossChat, I was pregnant. Yeah. I was pregnant. And then the minister at the time, Michael, he's nodding. The minister of that CrossChat, Carrie, I wish I could remember what the lesson was specifically, but it was talking about how things can change and like, things don't have to be the way that they have always been. I think it was about breaking cycles, and big old pregnant me, like sitting there in the middle, and like, I'm sure everyone knows each other, and I'm just like sobbing, like just leaking, like pouring out tears, like visibly, like I could feel myself shaking, and I know everyone's staring at me, and I'm like, like, this is great. You
first
know.
Impressions.
Oh, yeah. The pregnant girl's crying. Yeah, but it was just, there was just a community there that I hadn't seen. And I was freaked out. I was like, what the heck, you know?
Yeah. At any point when you were pregnant, did you, and this is, it's a forthright question, but was there any resentment at all?
To who?
For the baby. Just,
oh,
for the situation.
Okay.
Because I only asked that, and that seems crazy, but I've also heard that sometimes there's an issue, and I think it's just a, you're coming to terms with it in stages, but like, and the reason why I asked that, because you're thinking about cycles, and I know that maybe as the coming weeks, as they go by, and you're, you know, you begin to get to know these people better, you start to hear more about the Bible, and you're thinking about, okay, God actually has plans for me and things can be different. And you're maybe beginning to like dream for Savannah. Like, was that ever in the forefront?
Not really. I was more resentful of like the situation and her dad at the time, because I mean, I was walking through high school. Like I wish, I don't know. I was pregnant my senior year, and so, but I got pregnant like the beginning of my senior year, so I had to go the rest of senior year pregnant. And I didn't think it would spread fast. I don't know why. I didn't think it would spread fast, but it really did. And it was just like, I was just so angry seeing him walking through school like life was not affecting him. Mm. And life is like visibly affecting me. But I don't think I got angry at like little stuff. Like, yeah. Why am I covered in sweat at 3 a.m?
Yeah.
Or like, why am I like about to vomit at the smell of like hot Cheetos?
Yeah. I think you clarified that. That was more so what I was meaning. It was maybe resentment towards the situation, not necessarily for the baby.
Yeah.
But like,
definitely,
you know, so.
Yeah, definitely the situation. I mean, I don't know. It was very much so like I had dreams. Like I got accepted to like 3 colleges. Like I was going to get out of Missouri. Like I had my plans like made, you know. But I mean, when I look back at it, I'm like, well, it's your own dang fault. You know, you did it. Yeah. So
that's actually a good point. Like, so, you know, a lot of times, you know, it's easy to blame the situation or even to divert the blame and like blame other people. But then, you know, I'm hearing you saying like you're taking personal responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm.
And like did you at one point did the consequences like linger for a long time where it affected like your choices at the moment?
It affected a lot, like during the pregnancy. Like there were a lot of things I couldn't do my senior year. Like I couldn't, prom was miserable. Like, oh my gosh, miserable.
Yeah.
But it was like, I don't know. It was just the situation. Like I wanted to do like, in my mind, like everyone wants to do like maternity pictures and like, oh, like the cute, you know, whatever. But there was such a, I mean, obviously teen pregnancy is not celebrated, you know, but there was such a, like a, different things I was robbed of, I guess,
sure.
because of the certain situation.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But just different things that I did miss out on and different things later in life that I had to kind of grieve or learn to grieve like appropriately instead of being like, I'm pissed, you know, cause that's my go-to.
Right.
Like, different milestones not met with her, seeing other people in like 2-parent households having babies, having more help just in general, which I had a lot of help from the community I was in, you know, the church I was in, but there's still like that missing void that's just going to be right. there because the situation wasn't how it should have been.
Yeah.
So, and obviously, you know, you definitely want to avoid the situation if at all possible.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's likely to happen to some of our listeners.
Yeah.
Where, you know, so like if you were to have, you know, just a few words of advice to teen moms, you know, as far as like, I know you said, you know, a community has helped you.
Mm-hmm.
And so what would you tell the teen mom, the future teen mom or the potential teen mom that's listening right now, like how to get through that?
You definitely need to have Jesus. Like I don't know. I've stopped watching it since because now it just makes me mad. But I watched like 16 and Pregnant, like Teen Mom. And a lot of those girls, they're missing out on so much, you know, obviously because of the situation that they are in. You know, some of them are single moms. Some of them are like moms that have been divorced 2-3 times or moms that have like 5 kids by the time they're like 23, you know, but a lot of them are just like kind of on their own, you know, having to figure out things a lot by themselves. And I don't know how I would live, you know, with just the situation that Savannah was in, with her special needs and just like, I didn't have a car. I didn't drive. Like when I, you know, had her because, you know, in high school, you're like, you know, I'm going to get my license. I'm going to do, well, I was pregnant. So I'm like, you know, I don't want to put the baby in danger. I would just, if you are pregnant and you, you know, things are done, you know, you're pregnant and stuff like that. I mean, the worst thing that you're thinking that could happen doesn't have to be that way,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know? I know a lot of other teen moms that graduated the same year as me, like, you know, they're not in good situations. They're like couch to couch, you know, needing a lot of support and just in a lot of like emotional turmoil. And I think I was saved of that a lot because I, well, one, I had God to like put a lot of that weight in and like kind of give that, because there's a bunch of grieving with it, right? So, you know, you kind of grieve like the stuff that you don't get to have, like you don't get to have, like I don't get to have like a father for my daughter, or like I don't get to have like the same things that, you know, someone who is married with kids gets to have. But God gets to be that, like, fills that void, I guess, you know, and the community helps a lot.
What about for the, what about for those moms that, or the maybe the younger pregnant ladies that, that maybe are feeling really guilty, or maybe they don't feel like, well, man, I can't go to church like this. I mean, what about that? And did you feel any of that?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I want to say that I didn't, I stopped feeling that way maybe after I got married, because then it looks like, well, okay, so my daughter is half Hispanic and then my husband is Hispanic. So people kind of just kind of assume that that's her dad. So I'm like, ooh, I don't look like, you know, whatever. But yeah, I mean, I felt like the burden, like I felt like the weight that people had to carry, you know, or just like the black sheep in the room, like, I don't know. And I feel like a lot of special needs parents like feel like that in general. But yeah, and I mean, I look younger than I am most of the time. So just like the looks that people give you is like, it's just hard, you know, but
do I remember someone saying that you're savvy sister?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like that doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
But it probably will again, but cause she's so tall, but, yeah, like we would go to doctor's appointments and my mom would drive me and like, they're like talking to her and I'm like, I'm the mom. Sorry. Well,
so what about was there any guilt that you felt like maybe from God, or not from God, but like man, how could God accept me, or will he forgive me, or anything like that?
That's definitely still something I have to fight every day. Just the guilt of just a lot of like guilt and shame. A lot of guilt for like how Savannah, like her, how the special needs affects her every day. Because, you know, I get into my own head and I'm like, man, like, what if like the birthing process, like it would have never like went wrong if I just didn't, you know, make this choice and make this decision. And I get in my head and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you know, I start to spiral and kind of get into my head of like, man, like, why am I even here? Like, why, what is the purpose for me when I can't provide this amazing life, you know, for this little girl who did nothing wrong. And it really is something I still fight with God. I fight with God about. And I've had to like other people have had to tell me like, hey, like you need to fight this out. Like it's okay for you to fight it out with God. And I'm like, no, like even after I, you know, was baptized and, you know, had been a Christian for years, you know, that was still an area that I didn't want to explore with God because, you know, he had blessed me a lot. He had blessed both of us a lot, me and Savannah a lot. And I'm like, well, if I rock the boat, like God's going to get mad and take it all away, you know, you know, but, that's just not true.
Yeah.
You know, and it's something I have to learn every day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we would all agree, but I mean, you know, I think savvy, and I know that you would say this, but I think, I'm sure you've had a lot of people kind of be like, hey, like, remember this, but man, just watching the love and the care that Sav's been shown. I mean, I think she's got it so good, you know, I mean, not just with an amazing mom and with an amazing dad, Nico, you know, because I mean, Nico from, I mean, from even before you guys were dating
yeah.
or anything like that. I mean, Nico yeah. was, and that just shows you the kind of guy that Nico is, but like yeah. he was there,
mm-hmm.
but just not him. I mean, the guy sitting at this table,
yeah.
like, you know, anytime we see her, it's like, man, yeah. I need to go make sure Savvy knows I'm here, yeah. you know? And
it's like, and the so, princess is there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah. And so, I mean, it's like, it's just unreal to see the kind of support. And so I look at that and I'm like, yeah, it's really, really easy to say what if,
mm-hmm.
but I look at that and I'm like, man, God knew what he was doing,
yeah.
you know, and that's weird. And that might not set well with some of our listeners, but mm-hmm. I look at that and I look at, you know, if you had not have had Sav in mm-hmm. that situation, you know, might not would have come about, like,
yeah.
you know, who knows where you would have been.
Yeah.
Like for me, I mean, there are a lot of things in my past that really trouble me,
mm-hmm.
but it's that very thing mm-hmm. that, like, if I didn't have that, I might not be
yeah.
a disciple.
Yeah.
And I look at that for you and I'm like, it's really, really cool how God can, and this is not excusing what scripture says about any kind of sin or anything like that. Right. Mm-hmm. And I know that you would agree with that and say
right.
that. But as we see time and time again in the Bible, mm-hmm. God uses sin and can bring about blessing. So.
Yeah. No, for sure. I don't know. I just think her life in general shows that, you know. Like, I know that there's a lot of, like, obviously there's a lot of skepticism with, like, Christianity. And, like, I face it every day at, like, work, wherever. Like, oh, how can you believe in God? Like, how can you put your full faith in him? Whatever. When this situation happened. More specifically, when people see, like, how our life is, and not, they don't see all the good. Like, mm-hmm. they're like, well, this is, like, so sad. Like,
yeah.
how can you go on? You know, stuff like that. And I'm just like, well, literally, like, there have been situations where I'm like, I don't know how this is going to happen. Like, I tell a story a lot about, like, daycare. Like, finding daycare was impossible. Like, either no one would take her because they were scared, or, like, I couldn't afford it because I was 18.
Yeah.
Or, like, just different stuff. Like, it just, nothing worked out. But literally, like, daycare landed in our laps, and it was mm-hmm. paid for by her, like, medical insurance. Like, it was just, like, and it was, like, they were, like, we have one spot. Oh, it was just, like, situational to, like, the T, to where no one else could have made it happen but God.
Yeah.
You know? Just stuff like that. I don't know.
And you're, I mean, you know, just from the outside looking in, your perseverance through all that, you know, it shows in the quality of life that you have now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, you and Nico and Savvy, like, just the joy I see in your guys' faces. It's like, you know,
no pun intended.
no pun intended. But
for,
like,
that one's been used a lot.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Whoa.
Oh, that's my last name.
That was awesome.
But, you know, just it, like, even just that, you know, like, Could you say that you might have a good quality of life without God? Maybe, but just now it's like, for sure.
Right? Yeah, I definitely couldn't.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
the thing. I feel like we, you know, we encounter that sometimes, I think, as disciples in conversations, like, well, I mean, I feel like I've had this conversation in the last month, but it's mm-hmm. like, what am I missing? Like, my life
yeah.
is so good, or... And there is no denying that for some people, like,
mm-hmm.
But it's what it could be,
yeah.
and what you're missing out on, and you know, you never know how good something could be until you experience it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's sometimes, as we're loving on friends or coworkers or family or whatever that maybe mm-hmm. don't have a relationship with God, it's like, okay, I'm not gonna deny that, like, you don't really have many cares
yeah.
you know, necessarily, or
yeah.
whatever. Maybe you've not faced a lot of hardship, but, like, man, like, this is how good God is. This is how good his family is.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it could be.
Yeah.
So I do think that's usually a big part of the conversation.
Yeah.
Now Savvy has, like, hundreds of uncles.
Pretty much. Many big sisters, many dads,
yes.
many uncles.
Every
yeah.
Father's Day is a headache because I'm like, oh, I got to tag everybody. Everybody,
yeah.
I got to find every picture again.
She gets
yeah.
more mail than anyone else.
That's funny. I didn't think
she
that.
Does.
So, you know, moving on, you know, Matt talked about your kind of this, like, perseverance and this faithfulness. Like,
mm-hmm.
as you're moving forward, you know, so you're baptized and, like, you know, you're kind of learning how to be a mom, like,
mm-hmm.
What was it like for you as you begin to kind of, you're like beginning to put two and two together and you're kind of seeing the picture maybe come together a little bit of like, you know, you think, thinking back to that first cross chat and the cycle mm-hmm. that's, the cycles that could be broken.
Yeah.
As you begin to see them come together or that cycle being broken, even before you were married or anything like that, like what was that, what was that like for you? And, you know,
I get so passionate about everything. So I feel like anytime I learned like a new life skill mm-hmm. or like saw something being broken, I was like, oh my God, like I was freaking out. Like my friend Courtney taught me how to budget for like the first time.
Yeah.
No one else had taught me how to budget. And I'm like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I could save money. Like I was
what?
Yeah. What? Like, and now I'm teaching other people how to budget. Like it's like, oh my gosh, how did I ever live without it? But remind me of the question.
Oh, just like what was it? I mean, as you're beginning to kind of see the like what God's doing, mm-hmm. like what's that like?
It's like
even up to now.
Yeah.
I mean, many, because let's see. It was 2017.
Sisters.
So
yeah.
No, so when you, like, your first cross chat, was that 2018 or
2013.
13, sorry. I was thinking of your age, 17. I thought 17. I was like, oh, 2017, that's like, not 3 years. So that's, like, what, eight?
Yeah.
Seven years?
Seven years, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Aren't you a math
my
teacher?
Bad. I thought the coffee was going to kickstart my brain. Yeah, I know. So 7 years. So uh-huh. even up to today, like, what's it like? I mean, just seeing things kind of come together.
It just keeps happening. And, like, I think, like, I always think I'm getting to a point where it's like, all right, there's nothing else good that can happen.
You can rest for a bit, God. Yeah. Like, I'm good. Yeah,
yeah,
you know,
it's so. Like, you can stop now. Like, wow. Like, you know, like, but, gosh, like, I don't know. Like, just the biggest ones, I think, were probably seeing both my sisters give their lives to Christ. That's gonna sound horrible on audio.
That's all right.
Because like they were, I just didn't have a good relationship with them. Like I said, like I viewed them as burdens. Like, oh, I gotta feed my sisters. Like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just so selfish growing up that it was like there were background characters in my story, not like actual people. And that sounds like really horrible to think about and say out loud, but like, gosh, they're such good aunts to Savannah. Like, I remember my sister Deborah, like one day, like she was watching Savannah for cross chat or something, and she's like, why are you always gone? Like, you're never here. Like, what's so good about being, you know, going to church or going to whatever? And like, this was like past the point of like, I've been baptized for a few years, and she's like, why are you always leaving? Like, you're never here. And I remember like crying to the girls in my small group and like just being like, they'll never like understand or get it. Like, and they're going to hate me for like ever, you know? And it's just literally amazing. Like, I literally moved out in 2016. So that was the first time I'd never lived with my sisters, and they didn't see me every day or like see what I was doing every day. And I remember like just asking God, like, how am I making a difference mm-hmm. in their lives? Like, if I'm not there with them,
mm-hmm.
Like, what, I'm not doing anything, you know? But just to know that like the whole time, like, they were seeing something, and they were like God had it even when I didn't think I did, you know, like he had control of that. And like,
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, you know, my one of my sisters, Matt, like she,
shout out to the inner belt,
right? Like, she's, oh my gosh, they're two like different. They're just crazy. And I know, you know, Deborah, Ryan, like they're just their personalities, like, and seeing how they like blossom and bloom like with God, and how they've like really fought to be just women of Christ. Like, it's just like, it's, and I don't know, like, I used to be upset because like I wasn't like the college ministry, And then I moved to like the adult ministry, and I'm like mad because I'm like, of course, when my sisters both get baptized, like I'm not in the ministry, mm-hmm. you know, to help them or whatever. But like, God just provided people to pick up the slack, mm-hmm. you know, and they're just doing awesome yeah. things.
And this you still help them and show them,
yeah.
you know, more than you know, really. I mean, and I think that's something about our examples that, you know, we always have to be aware of is like, you know, we're always kind of showing them something much more than we know that we are. Mm-hmm. They're always looking at us. So
yeah, and even like I know you said that you know other people are picking up the slack, but then you know, one of your sisters, Dara, she goes to the Inner Belt. So then it's like, mm-hmm. it's kind of you know just thinking about it like your hope like you're like she's still kind of far from you, but you're like excited about it because she's in a church plant. Like mm-hmm. you know mm-hmm. she's still doing her own yeah. thing, and she's yeah. got her own set of people. And like just looking from afar, like you think, man, like they're actually holding their own relationship with God. Like yeah. they're not here yeah. because of me.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, and that's always a good feeling. Just to know that, you know, your family's doing good. And mm-hmm. I think of a lot of other stories in my life of people who've prayed for their siblings for a long, long time. And sometimes it takes even 10 years, even. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. it wasn't that long for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, if you continue to do what you're doing and the example that you've clearly have shown, you know, like just the power of God is what brings them, not anything that's like in our power or our strength mm-hmm. or because of us, but it's just mainly because of what God does
yeah.
in our lives.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So like, you know, you talked about going from campus to the adult ministry. I feel like that's like insulting sometimes.
I know.
The adult ministry, but
I think I'm the only one in the adult ministry here.
Yeah, y'all. Oh, what? No, never mind. Sorry, Michael is here. But now you're in a different ministry.
I am.
So, and this kind of brings us to today.
Yeah.
But like, how did you get to where you are now?
Man, truthfully, I have no idea. No, I really don't. Like, so I was in campus. I started in campus, and I was in campus for a long time, like probably past my welcome.
Not like, true. Not true.
There's an expiration date.
No.
Just kidding.
No. It just towards the end, like.
Got him.
Right. No. Towards the end of campus, I was just tired. Like I could not. Like I look back. Me and Nico both look back because he was there for a long time. Also. And we look back, we're like, man, we're no spring chickens no more. We're getting bed at 10:30. Like, right. But then we were moved to the adult ministry, which that we were only there for 6-ish months,
mm-hmm.
probably shorter. But that, I mean, was a whirlwind of emotion in itself. Mm-hmm. Just the culture shock, I guess, of like, yeah. living a campus life and doing yeah. whatever, not doing whatever, but like, you know, just, it's just a different pace.
It's a different dynamic. For
it
sure.
is. It really yeah. is.
It's day and night.
It is. It yeah. is.
It's not even close, man. It's yeah. going to be a yeah. rude awakening for you, Landon, whenever your time
I mean,
comes.
But will it be though? I'm kind of already an old man.
Yeah.
Grandpa. Yeah.
You are a grandpa.
I am. And I'm fine with that.
It's the best.
Yeah.
But just the pace. And just, like, the friendships. It was something that we definitely needed right before youth ministry. So now I'm in, I mean, the story how we got in youth ministry was funny. Like, so we're at our wedding. We're about to leave, okay? We're about to leave. Yes, we're about to leave. And, like, the youth ministry minister, Ashley, mm-hmm. she's like, hey, can I talk to you for like, we're literally about to walk out of
oh
the door.
Goodness. This is classic.
Yeah. Like, she's like, hey, you know, wondering if you want to help with the youth ministry a little bit. And in my mind, I'm like.
You knew what help with meant.
No, I didn't.
I would have.
I did not. Nico did, yeah. clearly. But I was like, oh, yeah, rides, help with snacks. Something.
Need some money, $5.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, girl, we'll do that. We're on our honeymoon, and we get like put into like this Facebook group, and it's like leadership, and I'm like, huh? Like,
wow.
What? Like, and it's just the transition was quick. Let me mm-hmm. tell you. And we're still like learning, obviously, that was what, November? So we're and it's July.
Yeah.
I don't know what month it is. But we're still getting like the hang of it and like learning it, and it's another pace from the adult ministry, because things are fast paced and like go, but only until 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
and then the kids go home.
Bye bye. Your parents are wanting you home.
Right. Right.
I think your mom just called.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that one's been pulled a few times. But I mean, thinking back to that, like, I mean, I remember that time and just knowing just some things that were kind of going on. Basically, like, I think what's really cool about our churches is and about our culture, and we're not the only ones. Like, right. There are many churches out there that we've been blessed to see that it's the same kind of dynamic. But like, if some people are not able to fulfill that role, maybe they've just had a loss, or maybe they just need time to like step back and learn. Like, you guys were ready to step up. Did you know everything about youth ministry? No. Did you guys know that you were going to need some training and some help and whatever? Yeah, but like, you guys were still willing to step up to the task. And I think, I mean, we hope and we pray that that's the way that our churches, like for the Crossings or globally, like that's how they function, is you don't just come and sit in a pew on Sundays. Yeah. You know, there's involvement through the week. Yeah, like there's work to be done for the kingdom and being about your Father's business. And if that means, I mean, I know these youth leaders, I mean, we all do, and they're very wise people, and they've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
And so trusting them that, okay, I don't think they're really out of bounds with this. Like, if they really see something in us for this kind of service, I believe them, even if we don't know what we're doing. And that's cool, is we see so many people and our churches step up to a ministry where they're not, like, that was maybe never going to be their calling, but yet they rock it out. And I just think that's really, really cool. Yeah. So
thanks.
I'm genuinely curious because, so you mentioned Ashley. So for our listeners out there listening, Ashley is the wife of RJ, who was our very first speaker in our podcast. But so, you know, we look at, you know, the audience has kind of gotten a chance to look at Savvy's life, and you've mentioned, you know, just special needs and like, you know, CP and stuff like that. So, you know, if you think about the youth ministry, you know, you have to pour a lot into them, right? Because a lot of them are either not self-motivated, or they're just not mature enough to have their own relationship with God. So you just kind of have to like push them on. And, you know, honestly, like from the stories I've heard and just, you know, just kind of like the Big Brother programs that we have as a church, like I kind of see like, you know, you do have to pour a little bit to these kids, sometimes a lot more. So where do you find like the energy or even the balance to do that, like to tend to a special needs kid, and then also to I would assume that you have a group and so like 7 or 8 kids that you also are not necessarily like responsible for, but in a sense responsible for.
I mean, well, one, I kind of run, I'm a psycho. I really am, like, so that's part of it. You have to be crazy. No, but like, it really comes from, and I've had to learn that, like, from getting into youth ministry from like in November to like now. Like, I think within the last few months I've really like learned how I really need to just build relationships with the other leaders and pour it. We give it back and forth. It's like recycled energy almost. Mm-hmm. Like, they, you know, different ones will come to us like, hey, this happened. Like, I'm just so drained and exhausted. And a lot of the other leaders have kids too, you know. Yeah. So it's, you know, whereas like I might be exhausted because Sav was up all night like crying because of, you know, something random or something like that. Like, so-and-so's kids might have cut their hair off, you know, and they had to, or swallowed a quarter, like, you know, you know, good time, or not swallowed a quarter. Yeah. Like, it just, it's a lot of different, it's just, I don't know, it's just kind of normal life to us now. Like, and it's, I know it's not normal. Like, I know my coworkers go to bed at 8 o'clock because, you know, they're just like, meh.
Yeah.
Netflix and dinner and I'm home.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, I might get home and it's like, all right, got to talk to this person, got to call this person. We got to have three girls over, but not until not past nine because their parents, you know, it's like, yeah. It's always like go, go, go. And so, oh, and the Bible, of course, like,
yeah,
the Bible, like I'll, like now I've gotten into the habit of like getting ready to like some kind of audio of like someone reading the Bible or like a podcast.
Narrative.
yeah, right. Shameless plug.
So shameless. But just like getting, like fitting it into the busy routine and mm-hmm. making sure like I'm not running off of like nothing.
Yeah.
And then I'm starting my day off right and getting it because the job I do is also draining, you know, like sales and stuff, but it's just draining in a different way. Whereas like, junior hires, like, or like teens in general, like they're teens, like they're not gonna sit there and like necessarily want to go through the Bible with you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Feed me scripture. Yeah. Like
it's
no,
just like
none of them said that.
They're like, it's like one word responses sometimes. And yeah. I'm like, just love me and Jesus. Like yeah. It's, you know, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, like, we could do a whole episode on boundaries, but, like, mm-hmm. I know for me, like, I have made myself so busy sometimes that, mm-hmm. like, I haven't, like, seriously sat down with the Bible in, like, 3 days. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what am I giving people, yeah. you know? And it's hard because you really do have to, like, set up a kind of a boundary with yourself to where, like, I am not going to schedule this. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, this person may need me right now, but, like, I need to take care of this first.
Yeah.
You know, I need to have my quiet time and pray and different things like that. So mm-hmm. that is a tough part of ministry. And you feel yeah. guilty for saying no, but it's like I am only gonna like really be my best self if I'm yeah. being fed.
Yeah.
You know.
I've learned to feel guiltier if I've had to think about it like, okay, am I gonna feel guilty if I say no to them right now? Yeah. But I'm going to feel guiltier being like, read your Bible, young teen.
And then, yeah.
And then I'm right. like, eh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you know? Like, you got to set the example.
Yeah.
So that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, so this is, it's been really cool actually hearing a little bit more about you guys as leaders because I mean, I see you guys from afar.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in a middle school for a year, so I know all about it.
There's something else.
In a way.
Yeah.
I mean, I only saw them for, I didn't see them after yeah. school hours,
yeah.
but it has been really cool, you know, just watching you guys do what you do, and I'm sure you guys are going to continue to rock it, and I think
Thanks.
That for, you know, I don't really know of many middle schoolers that don't like games, so they've got a great friend in Nico, but I also
oh,
trust
yeah.
that Nico is obviously making time for the, all right, let's put our controllers down, let's
oh, yeah.
talk about
oh, yeah.
Some really important stuff, so... Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think we have covered a lot of good ground today. Grounds, coffee.
Grounds.
Reference. thank you, Ryan. So I guess we'll kind of close it out with a question that
okay.
we ask.
Okay.
But, you know, so kind of knowing all that you know now, I mean, all of this good wisdom
mm-hmm.
that you have learned, just even just being a mom, as a sister, a daughter, all that good stuff, as a disciple, what would you tell someone? So, like, what would you tell your younger self whenever you needed to hear it the most? Like, what word would you give?
This is going to sound bad because of the situation I was in. But I would be like, just do it. What can go wrong? not the bad
need
stuff.
To clarify.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, let's clarify.
Not the bad stuff. Don't do that. But, like... giving people a chance,
mm-hmm.
you know, giving God a chance. Because honestly, before I'd gotten pregnant, had people asked me to study the Bible way before that? Oh, yeah. But I was not open until I was broken and mm-hmm. I had nowhere else to go, or it felt like that way.
Yeah.
You know? And a lot of like my friendships, like my relationships, just seeing like my sister's relationships, like just doing it and giving it a chance and giving God a chance and just doing what he says,
mm-hmm.
just even though you may not know what will happen, Like, and that's hard because I love control. So yeah. I like to know what will happen. Like, timelines, will it happen Tuesday, Wednesday? Like, I like to know that, you know? But I, the best things that have happened in my life were when God was like, just do it. Just do it. Like, yeah. Just,
yeah.
Just try it.
And I think I'm looking here just, you know, we bring up Acts 17, mm-hmm. You know, just some scripture that just talks about how God arranges the meeting places of man. And mm-hmm. I've been reading the Message paraphrased a lot. but he says, he's got verses 24 through 29 here, but says the God who made the world and everything in it, this master of sky and land, doesn't live in custom-made shrines or need the human race to run errands for him as if he couldn't take care of himself. He mm-hmm. makes the creatures. The creatures don't make him. Starting from scratch, he made the entire human race and made the earth hospitable with plenty of time and space for living so we could seek after God and not just grope around in the dark, but actually find him. Mm-hmm. He doesn't play hide and seek with us. He's not remote. He's near. We live and move in him. We can't get away from him. And so I just think about that, and you know, the NIV talks about, you know, God kind of arranges the times and places that man would be, and
yeah.
You know, just even thinking back, I mean, we always had a good friendship over the years. Yeah. We weren't like close, mm-hmm. but like I literally like have the image in my head of where I was standing at Carrie's house around mm-hmm. the table where all the food was, and I remember where you were.
Mm-hmm.
And
I vividly remember Capri Suns.
Yes, Capri Suns were there probably. They were there. So, but I remember that, and I'm just thinking, I'm like, man, you know, like you were saying, give God a chance. I mean, when you are, when God puts these people in your life, mm-hmm. yeah, give him a chance because, you know, he wants to do something really cool. So,
yeah.
But thank you for being here. Didn't hear much from James.
Yeah, you didn't get to throw under the bus like that.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Yes, I'm awake now.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying listening to.
Yeah, I started off.
James is really, really? Good listener, I will say.
I don't think he wasn't there for any of like.
No.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
So like, my beginning.
Yeah, because I've been here around for how many years? 2 or 3 years. So
yeah.
I'm excited to absorb everything you just
yeah.
talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Well, it was really good to still have you,
for
have
sure.
you with us, James. Thank you, Matt, and this has been fun. And I know we've taken a little bit of a break. Like Joy made it abundantly clear, we're busy. but you know, we are gonna keep doing this as much as we can, and try to really, I think, get back to a pretty normal, maybe like a biweekly, you know. And routine or schedule.
Like I said earlier, like a lot of things are opening, so we got back our studio kind mm-hmm. of.
Aww, yeah. So.
Yep. Just gotta get those keys next time.
Yeah, just gotta get those
keys. I'm gonna throw everyone under the bus. Right. Yeah, we're not in our normal space because
we'll get there.
A certain person forgot the keys.
Just,
yeah. Yeah.
Just wanna show all Mike Stan.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. We should get that. We'll get it on the snap. Yeah. How about that?
There you go.
So, well, how would people know? Would they see that?
Oh, I guess we'll, not.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We can describe it.
We can describe it. So I have a paper towel roll, and the cord is coming up through that, and then the mic is like setting on it. So, but I mean, hey, you just got to be crafty.
It looks like a hot dog. Like a really long
but
dog.
If you want to fix that for us, listen to us on Anchor because we get paid for every listen.
This is that's our 42nd shameless plug tonight.
Woo!
But yeah, so we do have a very special guest scheduled next week.
Ooh.
So be on the lookout for that. I will not reveal their name. But yeah, so this has been fun. So thank you all for being here, and on behalf of the Brewing Narrative team. This is us saying good night or good morning, good afternoon, wherever you're listening, whatever time it is.
See
you guys.
Bye.
So by now, your coffee cup is probably pretty low, so I'll keep this short. Thank you for listening in. Make sure you hit the subscribe button and leave a comment. We'd love to hear how these stories are impacting your life. For more content like this, You can follow us at Brewing Narrative on Facebook and Instagram.